Thank you. What a privilege it is for Moody and me to be with you, and I should say to be back with you. We've had the privilege across the years to come here several times and minister to you, and we're always thrilled with that opportunity, and we're grateful for God's blessings in leading us this way again. Thank you for inviting us, and thank you for all that you have already begun to do in preparation of your own heart for this service this morning, with our focus on missions, and then beginning the revival services tonight through next Sunday. It's a personal privilege for us to be with your pastor and his wife. We've appreciated their friendship and ministry across many years that we have known them. And we are grateful that God continues to use them here in Dublin First Church of the Nazarene. Isn't God good? Is God good to you? If you don't think so, let me take you to some of the places of the world where I've been. I've had the privilege to visit about 90 countries of the world. And I want to tell you, folks, we're the most blessed people I know anywhere in the world. God. And I don't know why. I can't explain it theologically. But I just know God has blessed us. And God has blessed us for a purpose, so that we will be a blessing to other people. God has made all peoples for Himself. God created us with a thirst within our souls that can never be satisfied outside of Him. In fact, the choir sang beautifully about that this morning, that Jesus is the living water, and that thirst within can be quenched when we find and drink the living water, who is Jesus Christ. Are you glad this morning you found the living water? And now your soul is satisfied. All over the world, people are drinking of the pure and holy water. The scripture is found in John the 4th chapter, verse 14. Jesus said, and this is in the context of the choir song this morning. I didn't know what they were singing, but it just sits right in there as part of that. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Thank God that people are coming to the fountain for the true and living water. Great things are happening today throughout the world. I want to tell you, God is not dead. God is on the throne, and He is drawing people unto Himself. An author by the name of James Rutz, in his recent book, Mega Shift, states that there are 707 million born-again believers in the world, and this number is increasing by 8% a year. Now, that's not how many people who say they are Christian or their religious belief system is Christianity. That's about 2.2 billion people. About 30% of the world's population say that Christianity is their religion. But this author says those who give a witness to being born again is over 700 million. There are hundreds of millions of these Christians who meet in homes. They meet underground. They meet in caves. Rutz writes that when he was a child in Sunday school, he was impressed with the biblical story that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. But now it happens around the globe every 25 minutes. Thanks be to God. When you wake up tomorrow, there will be 178,000 more Christians in the world than there are today. The Spirit of the Lord is moving all over the world. And after all, isn't that what we pray for? Isn't that what we give for? Isn't that why we go, why we send missionaries, and why we support our nationals who are working in various areas of the world? In New Testament times, there was one believer, one Christian, for every 360 non-believers. One for every 360. Today, there's one believer for every 7 non-believers. God is moving across the world. Thank God for what is happening in the Church of the Nazarene. Now let me say right up front, the Church of the Nazarene is not the only church. Isn't that good news? It's okay to say that even though we're in a Nazarene church. There are other good churches that lift up the name of Jesus Christ and that are taking the gospel all over the world. And we say, thank God for every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that dares to make Him known to the whole world. But I'm glad that God is mightily using the people called Nazarenes. And that's you and people like you. And I want to thank you for your giving and your sacrificing and your participation in various ways in carrying out the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Church of the Nazarene is a connectional church. Our congregations are not dependent. They're not independent. We are together, interdependent. Together, we go together. Together, we embrace a world vision. Together, we embrace a world task. And as a result, the church is a multiplying church. On the way here yesterday, we stopped in town Statesboro. And I happened to find a wonderful lady who, and I said, I need a shampoo and style. And she just took me right in, and I hope she did a good job for you. And we began in conversation, and generally conversations I'm in with people, it ends up about the Lord and the church. And she said that her son and his family are serving as missionaries in Amman, Jordan. And I said, tell me more about that. I'll be there next week. My husband and I will be there in Amman, Jordan next week as we're on the way to Bangladesh. And she began to tell me that. And she said, but you know, God's using them. They're helping to win people to Jesus Christ. She said, but the burden they carry is when they come back home for furlough, they have to spend every moment, every day, trying to raise funds so they can go back. And if they don't raise those funds, then they don't get to go back. And I know how that system works. And I didn't want to burden her with the contrast of the Church of the Nazarene, but in my own heart I knew. And I said, thank God for Church of the Nazarene that believes in faith promise opportunities like we have today. Thank God for the Church of the Nazarene. Every church throughout the whole world that gives, participates in World Evangelism Fund so that we can say to our missionaries, God has called you. And the church recognizes that call. And the church commissions you. Now you go to the mission field and you give yourselves totally, completely to the call of God upon your life. And you don't have to raise your salary in order to stay on the mission field because, well, every local church throughout the whole world is going to give to missions to support you so that the church will minister to through you to the whole world. Aren't you glad for such a system as that? That's why you are asked once a year in faith promise to give so that we can continue to send those whom God has called. It's a vision we share together. You ever look at yourself and say, I wonder what I looked like 20 years ago. Now, some of you I've known for 20 years. I know what you looked like 20 years ago. Some of you know what we looked like 20 years ago. What did the church look like 20 years ago? Let me just share a little contrast here quickly. 20 years ago, that was just 1990, there were 10,700 churches of the Nazarene in the whole world. You got that figure? 10,700 Nazarene churches. Today, there are 24,485 congregations. Of this, 17,000 are fully organized churches. From 10,700 to over 24,000 in 20 years. I want to ask you, is God using you to make a difference? Also, 20 years ago, there were 950,000 members of the Church of the Nazarene all over the world. A little less than a million. Today, we're at 1.9 million members. More than doubled in the last 20 years. In the last quadrennium, 500,000 people joined the Church of the Nazarene. Last year, 2009, this figure was just released last week, there were 165,000 new members taken into the Church of the Nazarene throughout the world just this past year. It is the second highest annual membership growth in the history of our church. God is blessing our church. Why? Because we endeavor to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and preach without reservation the message of holiness, living a life that is like Jesus Christ. Also, 20 years ago, the Church of the Nazarene was ministering in 93 world areas. Today, we are in 156 world areas. The General Board just opened a new field by their action last week in General Board meeting. So God is continuing to bless, and we continue to send missionaries. Last week in General Board meetings, 24 new career missionaries were commissioned. They were already out there as interns, and then General Board action, they were commissioned. 24 missionaries. What makes all of this possible? It can all go back, as I keep saying, to the local church, because it is you that God is working through. And what thrills me is that God transplants you in ministry out there all over the world because you are participating in this mission plan that God has provided for us. As a result, people are finding the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize in Africa, that continent of Africa, in 1900, there were only 9 million Christians on the whole continent. Today is 400 million Christians. And the Church of the Nazarene is a strong, vital part of the growth of Christianity in that area of the world. One of the real pockets of growth in Africa is around Ethiopia and the Horn of Africa. And I've had the wonderful privilege to be there back in 2005 and see what was happening with this miracle and great movement of the Holy Spirit. And the church has more than doubled in that area of the world in the last 3 years. In fact, I received an email yesterday from one of our new general superintendents, newly elected, Dr. David Graves, who had just conducted our first district assembly in Sudan. Think of that part of the world. And the Church of the Nazarene now is already becoming strong enough that there was an ordination and there's growth that is taking place. In fact, one pastor said there could possibly be 400,000 more who are worshiping with us in Sudan that we haven't even counted in the statistics yet. Why? Because the Lord is moving in a mighty way. In Somalia, we have people there connected with our church, and whose names, of course, we can't reveal in that dangerous area of the world. But that person, our leader there, says 95% of all Somalian believers in the world are Nazarenes. Not that they have to be, but God has opened the door for ministry of the Church of the Nazarene in Somalia. You know what happened last year in Awassa, Ethiopia? 20 Muslim witch doctors were wonderfully converted. 20 of them. And as a result, 4 of them took their mosque and gave them to the Church of the Nazarene, and now every Sunday and throughout the week for other activities, these 4 mosques, Muslim mosques, are being used for Nazarene worship services. This is nothing short of a miracle of God's grace. I think of what God's doing in China, in the Asia Pacific region through where we are working. You know, there is a tremendous increase in number of Christians who in the People's Republic of China. This great movement of back to Jerusalem is taking place. And when Moody and I were privileged to be there about 2.5 years ago, we met some of these wonderful young people who are called to be missionaries. About 100,000 are called, the report is, to go back down the Silk Road to Jerusalem and evangelize on the way through what we know in Christendom as the 1040 window, so that that's where the least evangelized people in the world live, and to take the gospel to them. And I want to tell you, these people are committed. They are committed. What a wonderful privilege was ours to be in China, and about which I had time to tell you more details about that. And we boarded a train in Beijing and rode for about 4 hours to a southern area. And we were guests of the communist government, what we call the Religious Affairs Bureau people. They met us at the train station. They were our host. They were very gracious and kind to us. And we spent 4 days with them. And when we got ready to leave, they told us, you have a standing invitation to come back. They gave me, and this was the first experience for General Superintendent of Church of the Nazarene, they gave me the privilege to preach in one of their government churches on Sunday morning. And these leaders were there in the service. And the church was packed to overflowing. I would say at least 700 people, and I didn't see an empty seat. In fact, when I walked in the church, which was a few minutes early, every seat was already filled. And people were standing around the walls. And the people, see, they know what it is not to have any religious freedom. Not that it's total freedom now, well, you well know. But they know what it is not to have any religious freedom. And now that some church doors are open and they can come to church, they can hardly wait to get there so that they can worship the Lord. One of the pastors said to us in response to my question, how do you evangelize here? How do you witness here? And he said, Christmas Eve is our biggest and best time for evangelism. For the government allows all of us to open our churches all night on Christmas Eve. So he said, most every church has 10 services all night long on Christmas Eve. Each service is 1 hour. And his particular church seats about 1,000. So he said they're packed out in every service. He has 10 services all night long, as do the other churches. And he said the traffic is so bad of people going to church on Christmas Eve that the police has to come out in full force and direct the traffic. Oh, what a witness that is happening, and the Spirit of the Lord that's moving across that place. And I could tell you so much more about that. South Korea. You know, now more than 50% of South Koreans identify themselves as Christians. In fact, when we were there 2 years ago and also 3 years ago for their district assembly. I was in jurisdiction in that area. And the district superintendent said, when you get to your hotel tonight in Seoul, push back the curtains and look out across this great city. And you'll identify the churches. You see, on every Christian church in Korea, when it is built, they put an illuminated cross on top of the church. And they're all red. They're all red. And when you look out across the city at night, you see all these red crosses everywhere, telling the story as a witness that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a witness. I can't tell you how much that thrilled me. Years ago, in fact, it was 1936, there was a district in Oklahoma named the Western Oklahoma District. They were having their district assembly. The presiding general assembly was Dr. J.G. Morrison. He repeated a question many times during that assembly, and it was this: can't you do a little more? Can't you do a little more? One of the pastors sitting there, in fact, he pastored Norman, Oklahoma Church of the Nazarene, he said he kind of got irritated hearing that question repeated so many times. Can't you do a little more? But he said when the assembly was over and he started home, God began to speak to his heart. Can't you do a little more? So he said he built a sermon for preaching on that subject the very next Sunday morning. And he prayed for God to give him a vision of where his church could move out and do more. Not only give more, but do more this new year. And so he said, he shared that with his church. He talked about, can't we have more concern? Can't we pray more? Can't we work more? Can't we give more? And money was scarce in those days. Remember, 1936. And he said God gave him a vision that a town 40 miles away, the name of that town in Oklahoma, Paul's Valley. And God gave him a vision and a passion, a burden to talk to the district and together go in and organize, start a new Church of the Nazarene in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. And so others bought into that vision, and he challenged the church for everybody to give that year a dime a week to help open up a new Church of the Nazarene in that city of Paul's Valley. Well, after a while, all of this came to reality, and a church was organized in that little town. They began to have services and revivals. One Sunday, a family walked into that church, and the family came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, gloriously saved. There was a teenager in that family by the name of Wanda Knox. Some of you old-time Nazarenes recognize that name immediately. And she was part of this family. After she graduated from school, she heard about the Nazarene University on that region, Southern Nazarene University, called Bethany at that time. And she thought, well, I need to go to college, Nazarene College. And so she went. While she was there, she sensed God calling her to be a missionary. Also, while she was there, she met Sidney Knox, and they were married. They pastored a couple of years. Then they were invited to come and meet the general board and the board of general superintendents, and they were commissioned as the first Nazarene missionaries to Papua New Guinea. Now, the story's coming back to a lot of you, and you new ones learn this one because this is a classic story in the Church of the Nazarene. They were our first Nazarene missionaries in Papua New Guinea. How did it start? Can't you do a little more? Can't you give a little more? Can't you pray a little more? Here's a vision from God, and a passion and a vision that the pastor embraces and shares with the people, and they too embrace and began a church. And look, look what God brought into that church. I've had the privilege to visit Papua New Guinea several times. Now, in Papua New Guinea, the Church of the Nazarene, there are 16,000 Nazarenes. 500 churches there. A hospital that is second to none in the whole country. In fact, when I was there to speak in the 25th anniversary of the hospital celebration, I met the Minister of Health for the whole country, and he said, "This is the best hospital in our entire country, thanks to the Church of the Nazarene." God continues to move. We were there 2 years ago. While we were in the country, the news was made public that Parliament declared Papua New Guinea a Christian nation and mandated, hear me, this is what the paper said, mandated 1 hour of Bible teaching a week in every public school. And the Church of the Nazarene is one of the strongest churches in that area of the world. Thank God. We can give a little more, can't we? We can pray a little more. We can do more as God would lead us to. I think of what's happened in Bangladesh. Nearly 1,000 churches of the Nazarene there. And we only entered that country 19 years ago. And next week, my husband and I will be leaving, along with Dr. Jim Dill, also General Superintendent Emeritus, to go to Bangladesh. For in this district assembly, hear this, this will be historic. You'll read the news. There will be, in one district assembly, nearly 200 pastors ordained. One district assembly. 30 of these are women. So we said, the Board of General Superintendents and other leaders said, this is too many for one General Superintendent ordained in one service. So we're going to invite two emeriti to join us. And so that's the reason Dr. Dill and I are going to participate. And they've also invited me to bring the opening message in the district assembly. It will be a great time of celebration. And I pray you will put this on your prayer list, that God will make it a great time. And also in that assembly, the district will be divided in, organized into three districts instead of just one district with 1,000 churches. Can you imagine how you get your hands around that administratively? So it's just a little insight to tell you how God is blessing. And last night, in wonderful conversation with your pastor and his wife, Betty and I were, of course, talking about India and what's happening now. And some of this, of course, a spillover from the work in India and the influence of her wonderful family and missionaries there and what's happening in Nepal. Now the door is wide open and the church is growing there. And over in northern India, they organized just this year closing 30 new churches on that one little district. The district was just organized about 4 years ago over in northern India. When they began to organize that district, they said, who are we going to put in as district superintendent? And the general superintendent and the other leaders looked around and they said, well, about every church on this district was organized by this woman pastor. So they're all her churches. We might as well put her in as the district superintendent. She goes from village to village as district superintendent and has Bible studies, revivals, crusades you want to call them. And before she leaves, so many have come to Jesus Christ till they organize the church. And God is mightily blessing this wonderful lady. In fact, I was meeting with the generals the other week, and they said, you've got to meet this woman. She is mightily used of God in this area of the world. Nobody can explain it. It's not a cultural thing. It's not a societal thing. It is a God thing. That God has called her and God is using her with a great deal of spiritual influence to bring people to Jesus Christ. You know, Church of the Nazarenes in Iraq. In spite of persecution, the Church of the Nazarene is there with four congregations. Your church is in Pakistan. 300 Nazarene churches in Pakistan. Organized 90 this past year. Churches in Pakistan with 19,000 Nazarenes. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy place in the world to minister. We all know the power of Muslim influence. And we know that persecution is real. It's real. You realize throughout the world, 48 people on the average are martyred every day for their Christian faith. 48 a day. In the last 5 years, 47 Nazarenes have been martyred. And Howie Shute, our missionary over in the Horn of Africa, says that he has studied and researched and discovered, hear this, that every time there is a martyr, an average of 27 house churches come into existence in that area. God honoring the sacrifice of those who will not give up their faith. Last year, I received a video along with every member of the Board of General Superintendents. And I was warned, be careful in viewing this video, for it is the martyr of one of our Nazarene pastors who was beheaded. I turned it on my computer, and I started watching it. And then kind of a weak feeling came over me, and I said, I don't believe I can watch it to the end to see a Nazarene pastor beheaded. But I saw those two enemies standing there with their machetes, asking this Nazarene pastor to deny his faith in Christ or they would behead him. And he gave a testimony that would send chills over you of stating how he loved Jesus Christ and he would not give up Jesus for anything or anybody. He sacrificed his life. The church continues to grow in Guatemala, in the MAC region. Thank God for that. I was over in the Caban area. You know, one in three people in that whole area of the country is Nazarenes. Why? We started out many years ago interpreting the Bible, giving people their language and a dictionary. We were the first to reach them with a written language. As a result, people understood the Word of God, and it's powerful, and it revealed God's truth to the people. South America, great innovations are taking place. Over in the Amazon River area in Brazil, there are 10,000 villages that have never been reached with the gospel. And the only way to get back in there is with a boat. So the Church of the Nazarene now is in the boat ministry. You know, we had our days of bus ministry. Well, there they've got boat ministry. And they're back in there ministering to these people who've never heard the gospel. In Haiti, you've been getting a lot of information recently about Haiti. Thank God for the movement of God that's taking place there. And the report that's coming to us these days is that the people are allowing God to speak to them and through them in this time of great disaster with our 550 churches of the Nazarene in Haiti. And Nazarenes to date have given more than $2 million for Haiti relief. And the Board of General Superintendents a few weeks ago decided that $1 million this year of alabaster funds will also go to Haiti to help build churches and parsonages and schools for this, where the loss is. Let me close with some information to you about Cuba. It's one of my favorite places of the world. I've had the privilege to visit there twice. Oh, I'll tell you folks, God is moving in Cuba. In the year 2000, we had 35 churches of the Nazarene. Now we have 71 organized churches, in addition to more than 200 preaching points. In the year 2000, There were 1,400 Nazarenes. Today, there are almost 7,000 Nazarenes. You talk about people who are committed, who are courageous, who are Christ-like. It just warms your heart. The average salary is about $10 a month. A month. And of course, there are limitations on what they can buy with the $10 a month. One bar of soap a month. They have to wash themselves, their clothes, their dishes. One family, one bar of soap. People are issued one set of new underwear every 3 years. We're talking about deprivations. We can't even relate to these types of sacrifices. They just had the district assembly in January. The Cubans said, "We've got to help the people in Haiti." I mean, here, Cuba, you know, their economy is so brittle and so poor. They received an offering in the district assembly for the people in Haiti, and they received $1,835 U.S. dollars, the equivalent for U.S. dollars, in their district assembly. That'd be good in a Georgia assembly. But think of it, in Cuba, 1,800. Can you catch the spirit that these people have all over the world to respond? When Moody and I were there our last time, there was a lady there. In fact, she's now the president of seminary. And at that time, she was the district NMI president. She looked like she was about my size, so I thought and felt impressed that I needed to give her everything I brought. So I bagged up all of my clothes and took them to her, and I noticed she didn't have on a watch, so I took my watch off and I gave that to her. Moody had met a man who was a pastor as well as a medical doctor. His salary was $10 a month, total salary, and he was about Moody's size, so Moody bagged up all his things, took them, gave him this pastor doctor. Well, he didn't do like the lady. She didn't open everything up immediately, but that man began to reach in and pull out of that bag. And the first thing he pulled out was a nice white shirt. And he held it up. And he said, he began to weep as he held up that shirt and turned to Moody and said, "This is my miracle. This is my miracle." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "For months I've been praying for a nice white shirt to preach in. And this is my miracle." I want to tell you, we traveled back to the United States real light. We didn't have any overweight luggage coming back. But I'll tell you, we were blessed in our souls. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And to whom much is given, much is required. And oh, brothers and sisters, God has given us much. And we praise God for all He's done. But oh, there's so much more to do. There are 1.8 billion people yet unreached, with no Christian witness in their communities, no missionaries there. We must continue to pray that God would call younger ones to be missionaries, and the church will supply the funds to support those whom God is calling. The needs are great. There are more missionaries to send. There are more churches to start. There are more souls to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with this. In a few moments, your pastor will lead you in your faith promise commitment time. In a service like this, and I love to tell this little story that happened in a faith promise service like this. A little boy was seated on the front seat and had his card out. And he was listening to the pastor, and the little boy was thinking, "Oh, I'd like to give to missions." But his thoughts were, "I don't work, I don't have money, I don't have a job." But in a moment, he had the perfect inspiration. So he took a pencil and big uneven letters he wrote across his card, "I will give 25 cents a week. I don't have it, but my daddy does." And you know, folks, that's the way it is with all of us. We don't have it. We don't own anything. Not one of us owns anything. The Lord owns it all. It all belongs to God. So we go to Him and say, "Lord, You know the needs of the world. So what do You want me to do with Your resources?" And He will be faithful to direct us so that the needs will be met. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for obeying God. Thank you for sending missionaries. Thank you for continuing to stand by the work so that those who are thirsty can be satisfied in drinking the living water. God bless you.